I'm so excited. Man, you guys came ready to worship this morning. Oh my word. And do you enjoy worship this morning? Just the presence of God so real here. Oh my word. Can you sense that God is just doing something? Like he is just up to something. Amen. I'm so excited about it. And I really feel like I have a very, just a special word for you. So I'll jump ahead to that in just a second. But if you could just be in prayer for Pastor Kevin, just wanted to give you a heads up kind of where he's at. Not very many of us can pronounce the country. It's something like it starts with an A, it exists, it's near the Middle East somewhere, right? Okay. No, but he's on his way there. It's actually really, really awesome opportunity. He gets to go to be a part of a delegation, a Christian delegation heading into Azerbaijan. It's a Muslim country, but its focus has been on peace for the last 100 or so years. I don't know. But what's really awesome is they're hosting a summit between Muslims, Jews, and Christians to promote peace in the Middle East. And yeah, how awesome is that? And so he is one of 12 pastors from the Christian evangelical realm here in the United States heading over there to represent Christianity. So just be praying for him. He is in New York. I think he's there now waiting on his next flight out. So just be in prayer over the next few days that whatever God wants to happen there happens. Amen. And then it's impactful and successful. Amen. Amen. All right. So like Pastor Ashton said, who's ready to hear the word of God this morning? You excited? Are your hearts ready? Did you bring your Bibles?
Yes.
Notebooks?
Yes.
Awesome. Praise God. All right. Well, let's dive in. And I know that your hearts are open. I know Pastor Kevin always leads us in that. But at this moment, if I try to do that, I'm going to forget how that whole thing goes. So I'm just going to say we're open, right? We're ready to receive what the word of God is. So let me just pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that your perfect plan and your perfect purpose and your perfect will be accomplished for this service this morning. Lord, our hearts are open. We're ready to receive. And Father, I thank you that as the word of God goes forth, it does change. It produces the harvest, Lord, that you have intended for it to produce. Lord, we're willing to go with you. Our hearts are open, ready to receive all you have for us. So we're willing to go. We're willing to receive. We're willing to hear. And we're ready to change, Father, how you asked us to change. So we love you. We thank you that the anointing of God is in this room, the presence of God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We receive you. We open our hearts. We thank you that as we hear the word of God, we thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you're ministering, that you're breaking, you're bringing freedom, you're breaking yokes, God, you're changing mindsets, you're setting people free. Even as the message happens this morning, we're expecting big things. Our expectation is high, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you have to give me just a second here. I was, excuse me, fighting a cold this week, and so I wasn't even actually in church last week, so I had to take advantage of our online live streaming, and it was a powerful message, Spirit of Truth, do you remember that? Powerful, powerful message, but I'm so excited, and I really believe, normally, you know, you can bring messages and you have a good word. But I really felt as I was preparing, I really felt the Holy Spirit tell me that this was a very prophetic message for this church at this time. So what does that mean? Well, when a prophetic message comes forth, it's there. It often is provoking. So it makes you a little uncomfortable and we don't always like it a lot of times. Sometimes we love it. That's great. It awakens something on the inside of you. It can inspire, but more than anything, it shifts us into a new season. And what does shifting do? Shifting takes one focus. Maybe we were heading in one direction. It begins to kind of shift and change our focus. Maybe from where we thought we were going, it begins to kind of either open up something new to us. It begins to adjust us and align us. But whenever God takes us, you raised your hand a minute ago and you said, God's doing something big, right? And we're moving into a new season. And whenever God takes us into a new season, there's new things that have to be added. There's new adjustments. There's growth that needs to occur. There's change that needs to happen in us. Amen? And so we're starting the new series, Agents of Change. And I'm really excited. I think this series is going to be powerful and extremely impactful. There's lots of things that we'll talk about. Obviously, we're going to talk about how God's created us to be agents of change in this world. Amen? How many of you believe that you are an agent of change, right? You have the Holy Spirit and power on the inside of you. You're here to go make a difference and to change the atmosphere and the world around you. Amen? You're not just meant to exist. Nowhere do we don't see that in the Bible. We don't see that in the Word of God. You're meant to change. But today we're going to kind of talk about change itself and what that looks like on the inside of us and where that's going. So I'm just going to ask you, I know I've said it a bunch, but just be open this morning because I really believe God has something special for us. And are we ready? Yeah. Ready to be open? So when I say the word change, can invoke a lot of different emotions. How many of you love change? Love it. Oh, see, now put your hand up for real. I want you to look around. Not a whole lot of people love the word change, right? Why is that? Because change often makes us uncomfortable, right? We have to change. Not many people like change. I have one child in my house. If I move a picture, it's like it throws them off kilter. It is like the world has come to an end, and it's horrible. It could have been the most amazing thing, but if anything changes, it's like, there's like tears. So it can be awful. So how many of you you're just not really excited about change? Yeah, it's just kind of makes you uneasy. I know. So today we're going to talk about that, and hopefully we're going to shift your perspective on that. There's a couple of different mindsets when we talk about change and when people are presented with an opportunity to change. When you are kind of coming, or outlooks or perspective that people have on change, or when it's time to change. And a couple of these things, people change, you know, when faced with a decision or idea of change, there's two typical mindsets that we often see. The first is that, and I'm kind of going off, switching up my notes a little bit, guys. So if you're doing on the screen, you're going to have to, I'm kind of all over. I apologize. I'm different from what you have. Okay. Just giving them a heads up. And grace, because they have to follow me. Okay. So one mindset is, one group of people, when you kind of have talk about change, and, you know, they just kind of like, why change? Life is good right where I am. I'm content. Why mess it up? Why mess up a good thing that I've got going on? I'm happy right where I am. It's a lot of work to change. Why would I go through that? Why would I go through change? You know other people like that, because certainly it's not you, right? Raise your hand if you know of somebody in the world who's like, it's just, I'm good, I'm content, I really don't care to change, right? They just kind of have that apathetic, lethargic, you're saying, hey, you could go do this, whatever, and they just, it's not worth it to them. But the second one is more of a mindset where people feel they have to change mostly because it's more of a negative motivation. Have you seen this in other people? Maybe it's you yourself. It certainly was me. I would get to a place where I would just be so angry at myself or not like myself and just kind of be like, I have to change. And it would become my desire and motivation for change was because it wasn't healthy. I didn't like myself. It was negative. Does that make sense? It was shame. Like, you're awful. You're doing a horrible job. You're like, you idiot. You shouldn't do things like that. I hate that about myself. It's shame-based, and it's causing us to look at ourselves, to be negative and say, I really don't like me, so I have to change. Has anybody ever been there? Comparative reality. And then all of a sudden, so you're trying to change yourself, but the way that you're going about trying to change yourself is how much you hate yourself. And how much you look down on yourself, and how much shame and guilt and condemnation, and you begin to point fingers at, well, this person does this, and this person does that, and this person does this, but I really hate myself, so I've got to get up in the morning. So your motive for getting up in the morning, praying a little bit longer, your motive for, you know, trying to not gossip as much or to be more of a light for Christ is everything about, like, I hate myself, I've got to go do this. So you get up in the morning and you start with a frame of reference, I hate myself, so now I'm going to go love on people. You laugh, but how many of you have done it? Now, that may work for a time, but it's not going to give you long-term results. Because what happens? Ultimately, you mess up or you fail, and you go back into the same cycle. There's never breakthrough in that. And you know what? It doesn't feel good at all. But I want to talk about change, and I know there were a couple people that liked change, but the vast majority of us don't. But you have to understand, when God begins to talk to us about change, it sounds a little bit different. It sounds a whole lot like Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It sounds a whole lot like how he talked to Abraham when he was getting ready to have him change everything in his life and move in a completely different direction. He was getting ready to have him uproot his whole family. And you know what he did? He took him outside, and the Bible says, then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. He began to put this vision inside of Abraham that he began to see, oh my goodness, Lord, look at what the promises of God are in my life. You know what else it looks like when God's calling you to change? It looks like Joshua, go up on the hill and I want you to look over Jericho and I say to you, see, I have given you the city. And you know what? It was still fortified. They hadn't taken the city. There was a lot to do, but he took him up on the hill and he said, see, because he was about to lead him and the Israelites into a whole season of change. God sees the end from the beginning. He is omnipotent and omniscient, and he always has increase on his mind. So when he talks to you about change, my friend, when he talks to you and starts to put his finger on an area he's asking you to move or change, if you will look up and you begin to recognize it as he's got increase, he's got somewhere he wants you to go, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. He's got the next on his mind. It's not just the next of somebody else, but it's the next for you. He's got what's next. He's got increase. He's got more on his mind. And so when that thumbprint comes and begins to talk to you about change, if your mindset can begin to shift and say, hallelujah, that means I'm going up. I'm going to the next level. There's more. There's increase coming. I'm not going to be staying in this same place. I'm moving on. There may be some battles, because when Joshua saw Jericho and he went up there and he saw it, and God said, see, I have given you the city. He was asking him to see with eyes of faith and to trust what he saw. And then he had to go in battle. And there were several battles before he actually took the city and saw himself sitting there. But he knew that God was calling him to change, to pick up, to do things different, to go into battle, to do things in an odd way. Who marches around a city seven times? He was going to have to do some things that were a little bit different, but God was asking him to change, to trust, to move forward so that he could get into the promised land. So if we can shift our perspective of change and get excited when God asks us to change, listen, it's not because he wants to make it hard on you. It's not because he thinks that, you know, you don't deserve blessing. He knows you deserve it. He knows you deserve increase. So he's got to move you so that you can get to it. He's got to change you. He has to grow you up in order to prosper. You have to increase. In order to increase, you have to grow. And in order to grow, you have to change. You can't get to prosperity without change. You can't handle it. You can't do what's coming in the next season. You can't lead where he wants you to lead. You don't have the capacity yet. There's still some things in your life that need to change for you to get to where you need to go. So I ask you this, have you seen the fullness of God revealed in your life yet? The fullness, the absolute fullness. Is there more in the inside of you? Yeah, there is. And I'm going to speak this part prophetically over you. There is more knowledge. Life Church, you have seen much and you have done much. You have ministered much. And you have loved much, you've seen much blessing, you've seen much breakthrough, you've seen miracles, you've seen God's faithfulness, you have seen much. But my friends, there is more knowledge, there are more capabilities, there is more leadership, there are more words of knowledge, there is more prophecy. There is more intercession. There is more wisdom. There is more servanthood. There is more generosity. There is more love. There's more authority. There is more power. There's more of the gifts of the Spirit. There is more on the inside of you. And do you know how I know this? I know this because Romans 8:11 says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and my friends, you haven't tapped him out yet. You haven't tapped him out yet. think about that. Sometimes we think we've hit our limit, but if the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, you haven't tapped him out. You may have stopped. He's not done. You haven't tapped him out. Maybe we've stopped changing with him. Change is required to move to the next. And to do that, there's a couple of things we have to do. Sometimes to go to the next season, change may look like letting go of some things to lay hold of. You may have heard Pastor Kevin mention that. There was a message that he preached, letting go to lay hold of, right? You can't always take the same things into the next season. You cannot take old garments into a new season. I said this last night. This time of year, we are bundled up to the, nth. We look like, like marshmallows walking around. We've got our big puffy coats. We've got our hats. We've got our scarves. Pastor Ken just told me it's going to hit negative 11 tonight. Seriously, I'm over it. Who's ready for summer? I'll skip spring all the way. We'll just jump right to summer. I'm good with that. So this time of year, we've got like the coats and the hats. And anybody have children that just kind of refuse to put any of those things on and leave the house? Okay, moving on. We'll just start a prayer group together because it's frustrating. But in this season, you need it to survive. What happens if you took the clothes that we need in this season and you went to Phoenix, Arizona in August and bundled up the way that we bundle up, a negative 26, negative 11, 10 degree, whatever it is out here? What would happen? You suffocate, what? You might pass out, heat exhaustion, whatever. It's just not going to work. It's not practical because those clothes were not designed to take care of you in Phoenix, Arizona. Same way, if you were to be walking tonight, negative 11, and you've got shorts, you got Bermuda shorts, you've got like your flip-flops, you're ready for the beach, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Frostbite is going to happen. You're not going to be able to survive and go and make it to the next season of your life. Why? Because you've got the wrong garments going with you. You can't take, now does that mean that those garments were bad? No, it just means you're wearing them in the wrong season. So you have to have wisdom to know when God's saying, okay, it is time now to let go so that you can lay hold of the next. If we just made our coats and our hats and our scarves sacred cows and said, no, this protected me and I didn't die in we live in the tundra. I mean, really. And it protected me, so I'm not going to let go of it. I'm hanging on to it. It will kill you in the Sahara. So you have to be willing to let go and move forward. What worked in one season will not work in the next. What worked for one level may not work in the next. Something has to change. Growth has to occur. You have to handle things differently. More is being required. Greater is coming. Sometimes he's saying to you, those friendships that you had in the old season, you're going to have to let them go. I'm calling you up to the next level. They maybe have served you well, but they're not going to serve you in the next. They're not willing to go to the next level. They're negative. They're going to gossip. They're going to tear you down. That influence in your life is going to keep you from moving to the next. That media that you're watching, it may have been okay for the past season that you're in, but I've called you to more. I've called you to study more. I've called you to have faith filling your heart. I've called you not to be filling your spirit with negativity and doubt, because right now I need you filling your spirit with faith, because there's some things I need you to believe in. There's some things I need you to call into your life. And if you're constantly filling your heart with doubt, it's going to be counterproductive and we're not going to get to the next. There are things in the next season that I'm asking you, don't say those things anymore. Maybe those things were okay for you to speak out of your mouth in the last season. They're not okay in the next season. Where I'm taking you, you've got to guard your mouth. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to watch what goes into your life. You've got to watch what you're doing. Maybe this job that I put you in, you know what? The next season, you have to let go of that one because I'm taking you to another place. But you say, God, it's comfortable here. Everybody knows me here. I know you're opening up this door of opportunity for increase, but I'm scared. My friend, to go to the next, you're going to have to let go and move into the doors that God is opening for you. And even if you have to do it scared, if you can look up and let him talk to you and say, Abram, Abraham, look at the stars in the sky. That is the amount, that's the descendants I have for you. If you can let him talk to you like he talked to Joshua and said, see, I have given you the city. If you can let him begin to show you and speak over your life, Jeremiah 29:11, some of you may say, my goodness, that sounds so huge. That sounds so big. I just want to know that I'm loved. My friend, look, start, open your Bible. Begin to understand that you are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High God, and he has called you to be an overcomer. He's called you to be victorious in everything that you do, which means he's given you a purpose. You have the Holy Spirit and power on the inside of you, which means when you walk into a room, it's not everybody wondering what you shift from the place of walking into a room concerned about what everybody's thinking about you. You begin to shift and say, okay, all right, God, who's my assignment in this room? Who can I love? Who can I bring freedom to? And you might say, gosh, you know, that prophetic word seems so big, but you can start right here. You can start to see that God has purpose right where you are at and begin to tap into that. You are so loved. And think about this, your creator. Think about how amazing God is. Is he not awesome? Isn't your creator phenomenal? Don't you think that creation speaks of its creator? So if you are his creation, are you anything less than spectacular? Are you anything less than think of it. If God's your creator, what does that say about me? You're way more valuable, way more amazing than you realize. And it doesn't matter what you think or what anybody else has ever thought of you. That's a shift some of us need to make. That's a change, is a mindset shift to recognize, I am valuable. I am amazing. He made me. Wow, I was listening to lies. I was believing a lie. I don't ever want to believe. You want to believe a lie? That's defeating. When the spirit of truth comes into a room, it begins to be exposed and you begin to realize that's a mindset shift to recognize and realize, wait a minute, I was believing a lie, that I was invaluable, that I couldn't make a difference, that I didn't have purpose, those prophetic words were for everybody else, but they weren't for me. Oh, my friend, they're for you. They're for you. You are worth it. What worked in one season won't work in the next. And you know what? You can't pour new wine into an old wineskin. Old thought patterns and sacred cows have to die. Luke 5:36-37 says this, no one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. Wouldn't even match. You know, when we're changed from glory to glory, you know, when you grow and you look back and you see how far you've come and you say, my goodness, is that even me? Look how far God's taken me. Look at how much freedom he's brought. Look at how much restoration he's brought. Man, I'm so different. The old way of doing things doesn't fit on me anymore. It doesn't even fit. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. So to move to the next season, to go to the next, you have to let go of some things to lay hold of. But at the same time, in order to go to the next, we have to do the work. Anybody remember a series called DTW? Yeah? Such a cool series. Seriously, one of my favorite. Okay. But how many of you heard of the story of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-29? And for sake of time, last night I read it, but for sake of time, I'm not going to read it today. Basically, there was a landowner, and he was leaving, and he was giving money to three of his servants to take care of while he was gone. To one servant, he gave, 10? Did the first one get 10? 10? Okay, 10 talents. The second got 5, and the last one got 1. So when he came home from the trip, he came to say, okay, what did you do with what I gave you, which is mine? How did you take care of it? And the first servant said, he went out and invested. He doubled it. It went from 10 to 20, right? Yeah, okay, I should have read it. Okay, 10 to 20. And the master was excited, and he said, we're going to go celebrate together. Well done. And then the second one, he made his 5 talents go to 10, he doubled them. And the master said, well done, we're gonna go celebrate. And then the last one said, you know what, I was scared, I knew you were tough, I didn't wanna lose a thing, I went and buried it in the ground. And a lot of us would think, well, that's wisdom. You know, he didn't wanna lose it, he was taking good care of it. You know, you think, man, that's what being a steward is, I'm gonna take really good care of it. But you know what the master said? He was like, at least you could have put it in the bank and earned some interest for that. And you know what he did? He took the talent away and then gave it to the one that with 10 with the most. And he said that he's going to be blessed. And then he told that one, just get out of the camp. Like he just did, like, just read it. It's pretty harsh. He like just banished him. You're kind of like, what? And some of us are like, God, that's not fair. But you know what? That's how he looks at us. Because inside of every single one of us, he's put talents. He's put gifts. He's put abilities inside of you. And you know what? He put them there. They're his. And he gave them to you to steward while you're here. What are we doing with them? And they're there. We have to cultivate them. We have to grow them. We have to utilize them. And you know what? There's increase that begins to happen. Some of you have prophetic gifts. Some of you have words of knowledge. There's spiritual gifts, but then there's physical gifts as well. What are you doing with them? When you utilize them, they begin to multiply and they begin to grow and they begin to produce a harvest. And that's how we steward those things. And as we use our gifts and as we use our talents and as we allow them to grow and to be developed and as we learn some of the gifts and talents you have need education. Some of them need mentoring and discipleship. Some of them need practice. Some of them you just need to start doing something with what God's put on the inside of you and just start utilizing them. And that requires what? Work, and which is the C word, the whole series. Change. Yeah, see? Change from what you're currently doing. Yeah, you got it. It requires a change in your behavior, a change in your habits, a change in your focus, a change in, you know, rather than just being safe and kind of guarding it and say, yeah, I've got that here, but I'm just going to protect me. How many of us go into self-defense, self-preservation mode? We're like, no, I'm just taking care of me and mine. But God's put it in you, and he said, oh, my friend, there's there for a reason, because I'm calling you to affect change, to change other people's lives, to bless people, to be my extension, be a city on a hill, right? To be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, a lighthouse, so that people can see and know who I am. And you do that through being everything that God's called you to be, through being the best artist that you can be, through being the best school teacher that you can be, through being the greatest friend, the best mom that you can be. And there are other moms out there that you can be, the best entrepreneur, the best business person, whatever God's called you to do, through being that and serving and praying and growing and producing and equipping change. That's you get to cultivate and you begin to multiply all the gifts and talents God's put in the inside of you, and you move, and as you use it, guess what? He can grow them so that you have greater capacity for the next season that you're moving into. If you don't use them, how are you going to go into the next season? How can he give you the increase? How can he give you the more? How can he give you the blessing when it's usually just it's connected to our gifts, it's connected to our talents, it's connected to our call. The increase in our life is connected to those things. It doesn't just happen, my friends. Our job is to cultivate, and it's one way that God takes us to the next. Amen? We have to do the work. And I can just hear some of you saying this. Oh, Pastor Maria, it's a lot. It's really a lot. Right now, I just feel overwhelmed. It's kind of too much to think about right now. I just need to, you know what? Let me get through this season, and then we'll talk about change in the next. Pastor Ken shared a scripture. I don't know if it was in a message, or I can't remember if it was an offering message, because honestly, when he shared the scripture a few weeks ago, it like went off like a rocket in my spirit. You know, like when you have those moments, and then it was like, I don't think I heard anything else for a while. Because it was like, ah! And it was Jeremiah 17, and it was verses 5-8. And this is what it says. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Here's the deal. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. They're not worried by long months of drought, and their leaves stay green. They never stop producing fruit. Those trees don't care what season they're in. They're always producing fruit. You can produce fruit in whatever season you're in. It doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter your circumstances. Stop wishing for a different season and produce where you are. Flourish where you are. You can produce fruit. You can grow. You can increase. You can, what is produce? Remember, we talked about produce. It's producing a harvest, and then it's growing something. Producing a harvest and you're growing something, so that means you have to grow, which means that means that you have to be in action. You have to change your actions. You can be growing and prospering in any season. In any season. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. They're not worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. You can prosper in any season. Don't wish for a different season. Prosper in this one. You can change. You can grow in any season. My friend, let me tell you, how many of you, and I took for granted last night that pretty much everybody knows our story with our son Isaiah. So I'm not, and several people didn't. So I'll give just a 20-second overview. Many of you know, I'm going to write a book, and there's a really good chance that the title will be this, Everyone Has an Isaiah. Because here's the deal, my friends. Many of you know, we have four beautiful, beautiful children. We have twins. They're our oldest. They're 14 years old. When the twins were born, Isaiah, who's one of the twins, was born with a grade 4 brain bleed, hydrocephalus, at like a couple weeks old, he was having brain surgery. Everything, we were told he was going to be a vegetable, falls under the category of cerebral palsy. At that moment in time, my world stopped. All my dreams and thoughts for what I wanted to do, what I thought life was going to look like, what I needed to do, kind of stopped at that season. And my friends, it has been a 14 and a half year journey. If I would have waited and said, I have to wait till the next season, or wishing for the next season before I decided to do anything, that would have been 14 and a half years ago, where I would not have grown. My three other children would have missed out on the mom that I'm supposed to be. This church would have missed out on where God is calling us to be. So many things now we've not been perfect, and not every day has been perfect. Let me just tell you that, right? Because it's definitely been a journey, and there's been plenty of temper tantrums. I have had it out with the Lord over and over again. But you know what I've decided? I'm gonna hang on to him because he's really my only way out of this one. If I let go of him because I'm angry or I'm mad, you know what? The devil doesn't get to win on any of this. The devil doesn't get to win in his story. We're still believing for a complete and total miracle. But in the meantime, that doesn't mean I have to wait for the manifestation of the miracle before I can flourish and thrive and produce fruit. It doesn't matter my situation. It doesn't matter my circumstances. I can grow in the midst of it. You know what? I can even grow and do ministry in hospital rooms when he's having surgery. I can love on people. I can, you know what? I can post on social media, and I can give an encouraging word, and I can encourage somebody somewhere, even if I'm by myself. There is always a way that I can grow, that I can meet needs, that I can love on people. There's always a way that I can bless someone. There's always a way that I can increase and I can prosper, because it doesn't matter. I'm not going to be bothered by the heat. I'm not going to be bothered by the drought, because the favor of God is on my life, and so I am called to produce. And that doesn't mean that I'm still walking through something, but it means I am called to produce. I'm called to prosper. Prosper in any season that I'm in. And doesn't that sound like Joseph? The life of Joseph, he was in so many jails and prisons and sold and all that kind of, but you know what? He just flourished wherever he was. He produced fruit, and that was a choice. That was an act of his will. That wasn't something that just happened. He had to choose to say that God is faithful and that God is holding true to his promises. And that dream that God had spoken over him, he saw it. But it was a lot of time before that passed and a lot of heartache. And if he would have waited till he was out of jail to begin to become the man that God had called him to be, but you know what God was doing in the midst of that? He was creating the very man that was going to lead and save a nation of Israel at that time. And so I might have an Isaiah. Your story may not have the name Isaiah attached to it. but you have an Isaiah. Everyone has an Isaiah. And a lot, it's our perspective that allows us to, it causes us to stop, causes us to wish and say it's too much now. But my friend, I'm here to provoke you and say, listen, you can grow, you can move forward, you can change, you can minister. Stop wishing for a different season. Prosper here. Prosper where you are. Prosper where you are. Your increase is there. Your blessing is right there. Your next is there. And last night I had a word in the middle of the message that said, that just basically said this, and it came to me, and I'll say it here in case there's anybody in the room that fits into this. I had a couple people reach out to me and say, wow. And last night as I was preaching, I just had this vision of, you know, when airplanes go and they're in this, then they're in the air. And they're not letting them land, and so they have them circle, and it's called a holding pattern. And I feel like there's a lot of believers that you just feel like you've just been in a holding pattern. That's what you think it is. It's because you're just circling, and you're not sure. And my friend, you may feel like it's there. You might not see something happening, but if you will dig in, if you will start beginning to turn your focus, take it from being inward to begin to be outward, to begin to love and to say, God, where can I bless? Who can I minister? And get outward focused and then begin to just listen to the Holy Spirit. He's doing something in you, even if it feels like a holding pattern. And if you'll begin to, some of you, you've been doing that, and you just need to be at peace knowing that God's doing something. But some of you need to stop looking at you and being, woe is me, and being, and you're actually holding yourself up. If you'll begin to shift your focus, like I just mentioned, and begin to love and say, who can I bless? Who can I love? Who can I serve? And push yourself outward, that's where your freedom lies. And that's what's going to break you out of that. Some of you, it's a mindset shift. You've got to change your thinking. Stop blaming God. Take responsibility. Those things have been coming your way, and you've kind of been like, no, I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. That's his lifeboat to you to get you out of it. He's providing the way out. You're just refusing it. Okay, we'll move on. So this morning, my whole goal today, told you, is a prophetic message, a shifting message, one to help us to get excited about change, right? To embrace it, to embrace the next, to open our eyes, because God has so much in store. But Life Church, there's more, and God's taken us places. But if we were capable of handling it, we'd already be there. Does that make sense? We have to grow into the capacity to handle it. We've got to take the steps. So that means all of us have to grow and shift. And as the Holy Spirit puts his finger on those things. And my goal today was really to provoke us to embrace change. And oh, look at that. I left one whole page of notes at home, friends. That's okay, we're almost out of time. But but you know what that looks like? What that change can look like? And we've been talking about the Spirit of Truth, right? The Spirit of Truth coming into our lives. And you know, like Pastor Norma, when she came to the church the first time, I don't know what I was going through, whatever, but she looked at me. I don't know if I was just agitated. I felt like the Lord was asking me to do something, but I was kind of at war with it and just this inside thing. She said, Maria, she said, don't think it's strange when agitation happens. She said, that's the Spirit of Truth. That's the Holy Spirit working on me, getting ready to take me to the next. Because I'm at war with how I used to be and where God's calling me to be. And it's that whole thing of old garments can't come into the next. And I'm at war with whether or not I'm gonna break through, break free, and go to the next or not. And so I used to get so frustrated, you know, and hate that feeling. And when I got that revelation, it was like, oh, so now, and I told Life School of the Bible this week, and now when that agitation comes, I can recognize it and be like, wait a minute, That means increase is coming. That means breakthrough is coming. And if I'll say yes to the Spirit of Truth bringing a revelation or a mindset shift, listen, Peter had to do that, right? When God gave him that dream about bringing the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, that was agitating. That required him to shift. That required him, Pastor Kevin talked about that a few weeks ago, that required him to go to the next, right? He had to make the shift. That was like this. And when that happens, lean into it. Get excited. Man, the next is coming. Amen? Increase is coming. All right. So in closing, it's just this. I encourage us today, if we can just be open moving forward, if we can have our eyes open to see, look, where are we going? We're headed. I know many of you in a message like this, you say, okay, I'm ready to change. I want to change. So what's next? What are the next steps? Those are the things that we're going to unpack over the rest of the series. But the first thing this morning, friends, that we can just decide to do is to make a decision that we're going to be open to change, that as the Holy Spirit tells us to do things, that we're going to change. We're going to burn the ships. We're not going backwards, right? And we're going to be willing to take the steps that God has for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, would you stand with me as we close this morning? I just want to declare this over you and just say, Life Church, I encourage you to look up. Just like Abraham, look at the stars of the sky. Begin to see what God has promised us. You're moving toward the land that God has promised you. And so now our job is to grow up so we can grow into and possess it and not let it slip through our fingers. Amen. Amen. Amen.